This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Call his wife and hey,
nothing to say, but what a day.
How's your boy been? 403, McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday morning. Got you for another hour to the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Spent it pretty much on Aaron Rodgers and Brian Cashman, my two favorite subjects. This is my perfect show. Aaron Rodgers coming to the New York Giants and the New York Yankees not spending enough money. That's kind of where we are. We're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision. And maybe I'm just being pie in the sky. Maybe I'm just being a little bit uber hopeful. But the idea that he didn't make the decision yesterday just tells me that maybe him and Pittsburgh aren't the perfect fit. Maybe there's something up there because it just seems like that would be where he's going. I think we've said Pittsburgh for forever. It's not felt like a fit. We didn't know after the Jets, you know, spurned him, the idea of, is he washed? Is he going to play? What does the rest of the league think about him? Then there was reports he reached out to the Giants, so it felt like, well, if he's reaching out to the Giants, there's probably not much enthusiasm for him around the league. Like, that was the impression we all got. And then it was, obviously, the last 2 days, all of it's gearing towards him going to Pittsburgh. But if not yesterday, then why not? And as this goes on longer, the more I'm thinking it's, you know, it's plausible. And I don't think it's that tough a sell job. I went through it this morning. You can go back and listen on the free Odyssey app back to 2 o'clock. It should be on podcast. You can go back, listen on the rewind feature. Like, all the stuff they did, all the moves they've made, right? And we can quibble about the contracts. And I know the Slayton contract with what they paid or what they weren't willing to pay Saquon Barkley and what they gave for their number two wide receiver. Again, the markets are different. The year is different. The amount of money you can spend and where the cap is different. The amount of money the Giants had is different. Everything is different. But they went out there and defensively, they've added a safety they gave big money to from Miami. They went out and got the cornerback. They got Holland from the Dolphins. They got Adebo from the Saints. Like, they've added arguably the best cornerback in free agency and the best safety in free agency to go along with Phillips and Newbin. Like, that is now a unit that you feel confident in after it being a disaster last year. Banks gets the move to the second cornerback. You've got some depth who really showed well for you out of, you know, players who were drafted last year in Phillips and Newbin. Now you've added a premier safety. You've added a premier cornerback. Like, we could quibble about why not Xavier McKinney last year. It doesn't matter. They've got another third-round pick based on his play last year with Green Bay. Like, and they paid him less money. So they paid a player who's, you know, right there with him. You could argue McKinney's a little bit better. McKinney has stayed more healthier the last 2 years after that hand injury. I think something wasn't right with the organization. I just don't think they, you know, after that injury, something just wasn't right between Shane and this organization and McKinney. I was surprised. We were all surprised they let him go, but they did. They signed Holland for less money overall. I think a little bit more guaranteed, but less money per year. They got a third-round pick for letting McKinney go. But ultimately, this defense that you know can get after the quarterback a little bit, Burns is really good. Thibodeau, who I don't think he's worth the pick that he was taken with, but still is a average to slightly above average maybe pass rusher in this league. And Dexter Lawrence might be the best overall defensive tackle in the sport, but certainly is the best D-tackle at getting after the quarterback. So they can get after the quarterback. They can cover much better than they could last year. And you look offensively, they re-signed Slayton as their number two wide receiver, who's led the team in receiving up until Malik Nabers last year over the last 4 years. He can get down the field. He's got speed. You've got the shiftiness of Wandale Robinson as your slot receiver, obviously a stud in Malik Nabers, and Andrew Thomas should be back and healthy, and you've got a young running back in Tracy who was, you know, this side of Bucky Irving, the second best running back in the sport last year, rookie running back in the sport last year. Like, I think this is an easier sell than people are making out to be. Yes, they've been losing, right? Yes, Joe Shane has built a reputation last year that I think he's starting to change with some of these moves in the offseason, some of these free agent signings, and last year's draft, and how it played out. But as we wait, I do think Aaron Rodgers has a legitimate choice in front of him. I do think the Steelers are obviously the better team. They do have one of the great head coaches of this generation. Excuse me. Sneeze there. They do have one of the best coaches of this generation in Tomlin. They are a well-run oil machine that consistently wins 9-10 games and gets to the playoffs, and I'm sure that that's his first option. But as we get further down the line, I do believe the New York Giants are a good option, and I do believe that with Aaron Rodgers, they could be far better than we're giving them credit for, and that these moves have impacted the defense. I think the offense has an opportunity. As long as they can block it up, they still will look to add to the interior offensive lineman in free agency. They still will look to draft it. You get a young quarterback. You get Aaron Rodgers. You win now on some degree that I think would be surprising to some people, even with the tough schedule. And then you are set up for the future with the young quarterback, hopefully Cam Ward. That's the Giants. The New York Yankees aren't going to spend any money. Brian Cashman made it very clear. The penalties are far too severe to even think of bringing anyone into this organization. So what? They don't have a third baseman. So what? They don't have a DH. So what? Two-thirds of the rotation is gone all year, or at least until July. And while I'll tell you they're still pretty good, and I think the fan base who wants to run and hide and punt on the season is a bunch of crybabies, there's no excuse for Hal Steinbrenner not to be more aggressive. And to wait for the deadline is a dangerous game when you have the farm system the Yankees have right now. It's a dangerous game. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Stu in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Cashman. It's not Cashman. It's Hal.
I agree with you.
He is not grasping the situation and the urgency of this season. They have to get back. Okay, you get $27 million back from Cole.
Yes.
When that happens, it should not matter. It shouldn't matter. Nolan Arenado would definitely be the third baseman. And okay, he's on the downside of his career, but he's still better than anything that they have at third base.
Yes. The year he gave the Cardinals last year would be far better than whatever they're going to get this year at third base. There's no doubt.
Right. And Jazz played a decent third base. Glaber didn't want to move to third base, and Glaber now is with Detroit. Mm-hmm. And Jazz is at second base. So who's at third base? Peraza? He's not proven yet.
I think it's Oswald Cabrera against right-handed hitters and maybe Peraza against lefties. I don't even know if it'll be a straight platoon. I think it'll probably be mostly Cabrera with Peraza making some starts against against left-handed pitching, but that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Oswald and Cabrera.
Exactly. But then you take it away Cabrera's utility purpose of playing all other positions.
Correct.
So Arenado would fit the role perfectly and give Cabrera his utility role, and Peraza could fill in and have a decent team. But as usual, Hal is going to say, we don't want to spend that extra dollar, like you said. He doesn't want to go above and beyond, and that's not the way it should be.
No, I mean, I agree. Now, look, again, there's a fine line with above and beyond. I don't expect him to go, you know, bonkers and spend like the Dodgers. I don't. I really don't. And even, like, you know, even with the talk, let's be honest, he spent money and he signed everybody you'd want him to sign. But even, and we'll see what happens next year, but even the great King Cohen has talked about multiple long-term contracts, you know, the money at some point. Like, he doesn't even have the Dodgers. He doesn't even have the idea of spending the money the way the Dodgers have spent it. So I think there's a line, but right now with the team in the desperate need that it's in, like, I just don't want to hear the same crap about the, like, you know, putting money in other teams' pockets, and they're going to save $27 million on this deal with Cole and his insurance. There's no reason not to reinvest that money. None. There is no reason not to reinvest that money. And that's what's, you know, as Cashman spoke, and again, it's all about Hal. I agree with you. We could discuss how Cashman's the one who put together the roster that's worth $300 million that has this many holes. I think that's a fair discussion. But today, it's about fixing those holes. And that the easiest way to fix it is with some money. Now, again, the pitching isn't even where I'm looking. It's offensive. And there are still guys out there who could help this team offensively. And to just wait for the deadline, which is what they're giving you. And again, I understand what Hal is thinking. The Yankees have a track record, whether you like to hear this or not, and you get mad when I say it. The Yankees have a track record of figuring it out to some degree. The Yankees are going to be in it all year. The Yankees aren't going to be 10 games out come the trade deadline. The Yankees are going to be in this. The Yankees are still one of the better teams in the American League. They're going to be in it. So Hal's just like, well, why would I rush into something now? What if Cabrera has a great year? Why would I stifle that? Let's just see where it is. We have the injuries we have. Let's see. Maybe Will Warren steps up. Why would I go out and add to this rotation when Will Warren might be my best option? Well, you know, we don't know how this season's going to play out yet. If Bellinger and, you know, and again, do I expect this? No. But if Bellinger and Goldschmidt play to their best capabilities, now you're talking about three great hitters with Judge and the two of them. Do I expect that to happen? No. Should the Yankees rely on that? No. But right now, with where they are, they're going to wait to see if it happens. Like, that's just where it is. And it's frustrating on some level, but be prepared. And the only reason, if I knew that Nolan Arenado was going to be available at the trade deadline just for money, I'm not going to scream. Because if they need him, they can go get him. I don't know. And when it comes to the deadline, it's prospects. The Yankees aren't in a position to trade prospects. They have a handful, and that's being kind, a handful of guys who aren't on the major league roster making an impact with this team and that are really good, legitimate prospects. There's a couple. And I don't want to trade one of them for Luis Rengifo. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's going to be there? Sure, if you're going to tell me Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the guy and you want to trade, by the way, it's going to cost you Dominguez and Spencer Jones. It's going to cost you Lombard and Spencer Jones. Right? It's going to cost you the handful of prospects that the Yankees have left for someone like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And even then, there'll be other teams with more prospects suited to trade for him. Like, they are just not in a position. They'll do something. I have full anticipation that the Yankees will do something at the deadline to improve themselves. But at what level? And if you're not willing to add payroll, like, that's the main issue I have. Like, how do I envision the trade deadline being their saving grace when it's harder than ever? More teams are in it. Less teams are selling. The Yankees don't have a loaded farm system the way they've had in previous years where they were able to trade from their pitching depth, which they have had. I know the fans want to scream about it. I'll defend them on some level. They just traded for Juan Soto. They've traded for a bunch of guys trying to bolster a championship caliber team over the last couple of years. And they have half the lineup as the farm system is supporting half of the friggin' lineup. Like the idea that, oh, the Yankees should just have this never-ending, there's going to be a downturn at some point. The Houston Astros provided this unbelievable team that, you know, did all this. Now they're farm system sucks. Why? Because for years it was filling their major league roster. The Yankees just had, they traded for Juan Soto and have half their starters are from their farm system. So I'm not going to kill them for it, but it's the reality. The reality is they're going to have a tough time making impact trades at the deadline when there's a million other teams. Brian Cashman specifically said not a lot of movement this time of year. You know why? Because teams are settled. Teams are settled. They're not interested. They're looking at it just like the Yankees are. Well, we'll see if this works. We'll see if that works. This is might be a time to strike when other teams aren't as interested, and especially when you're looking at the guy I want, Nolan Arenado, being pretty much a salary dump, and you just made $400 million last year in sales and ticket sales. You made an extra $100 million on top of that going to the World Series, and Gerrit Cole just gave you $27 million on his way out the door. So why can't you spend now when I don't know how the deadline's going to work? If I was confident in the deadline, if the farm system was robust, if I knew that there would be options there, I would say, okay, let's wait for July, and I'm not going to scream about it. I don't know what happens in July. The farm system isn't any good. And right now, it doesn't sound like they're willing to spend another dollar. So that's my problem. John and Maspeth, what's up, John?
G-Mac, how's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, just tuning in. You know, first thing I hear you talking about is, you know, the team's got to reinvest the money they got back from Cole. And I'm 100% on board. You know, Cashman and Hal better be spending that money. They better not be pocketing it. I think the way to go, you know, is to add at least one more starting pitcher, maybe two. I was looking over some names that are free agents.
Go ahead, give them to me.
Lance Lynn.
Yeah.
Who didn't do too bad last year. He had like a 3.8 ERA and like 25 starts, so like that. And Spencer Turnbull.
Mm-hmm.
He had 7 starts last year, came out of the bullpen about 10 games as well. You know, he pitched about 60 innings, but his ERA was like 2.8. You know, these two guys should be low cost. You could start Lynn, you could put Turnbull in the bullpen as like a long guy, maybe have a spot start. Just, I would say probably start Warren in AAA this year until there's an injury come up and try to limit Stroman's innings, obviously. I don't want him to go over that 140 and have him next year.
That's a fair point. Those options, I'd rather bolster the offense. I'm kind of okay with the pitching. I'm kind of okay with it. I hear what you're saying. Listen. If they have, I want to limit his innings too, but if they have to throw him 140 innings, you have to throw him 140 innings, you'll live with it. I think if he pitches well enough to earn 140 innings, I think it'll be easier to move him next year, to be totally honest with you. The main reason that they're having trouble moving him this year is that the whole reason to get Marcus Stroman is to use him as an innings eater. That's the whole purpose. Like, if you're going to trade him to a lesser team, or if you're going to make that hopeful trade of, you know, including him for Arenado to St. Louis, the whole reason would be to just have him as an innings eater. And if you do that, you give him 140 innings, now you're on the books for $18 million next year. No team wants that. Next year, it would just be, hey, we'll eat some money. It's a one-year thing. I think you might actually have a better chance of moving Marcus Stroman next year, even if you get locked into that contract by pitching him 140 innings this year. But you have to do what you have to do. It's about winning, first and foremost. But I agree with you. But Lance Lynn doesn't do it for me. We've seen Lance Lynn in the Yankee uniform. It wouldn't be if news broke right now that they signed Lance Lynn, okay, see how he pitches for these 2 weeks, send him down to, he's going to have to start, he's not going to be able to start the season with the team. He's going to need a little bit more seasoning. But like, okay, you know, Scooble, okay. I mean, not Scooble. If they get Scooble, that'd be good. Some of these names, you know, Kyle Gibson. All right. Like, they don't excite me. I don't think they improve the team all that much. And again, I'll trust Carrasco right now. I'll trust Stroman. I'll trust Warren if it comes to it. I still think Clark Schmidt, despite not having a very good spring training outing, his first spring training album, and he's going to be set back a little bit and make one more sim start at the end of camp while the team heads north, and you'll meet them on game six of the season. I still think the rotation's okay. I want to add offense. I don't want to add more crap to the back end of the pitching. I want to add more oomph to the lineup to make up for it. 888-808-1019. And then the other piece of Yankee news is it doesn't even sound like Max Fried is going to start opening day because they had him lined up for, you know, game number two with Cole as number one. They don't want to mess with him. Just we heard the same thing last year. Marcus Stroman started. Mark my words. Stroman is your opening day star. Get ready. March 27th, we head down to the Bronx, 3 o'clock. Yankees, Brewers, Marcus Stroman on the mound.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To hear about Aaron Rodgers. We haven't. Still hopeful. Let's talk about
he's waiting to hop on McAfee.
He's going to announce it on McAfee. You nailed it. It's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, that would bother me, I have to admit. If he goes on McAfee's like, I intend to play and I intend to play with the New York Giants, that would ruin it almost. That would ruin it almost. Almost. I'll be pretty pumped no matter how he announces it. I want Aaron Rodgers to the Giants bad. I want it bad. Let's talk about the New York Mets, though, for a second. As, you know, I've come under fire with the Met fan. God knows why. I feel like I've been so fair. But I've come under fire with the Met fan for my take on how the Mets handle starting pitching. I think it's smart in many, many, many ways, as we see how injury-prone starters can be. I think trying to do it is far more difficult than last year made it look. That's all. I think it's far more difficult to put together a staff the way they've tried these last 2 years and make it look as seamless as it did last year. And I have to admit, as seamless as it looks in spring training right now. And, you know, as they've lost Manaea, at least for a time, and I was just asking Fleegs, they mentioned, I heard on Friday as I was driving around running some errands, Evan talking about the idea that the Mets, that they talked about he was feeling good, he was going for further imaging, if everything came back clear, he was going to start throwing. As far as I know, as of today, which is Wednesday, almost a week, I guess, from that, I haven't heard whether he's begun throwing or what the imaging showed, but you're expecting Manaea back sometime in late April, early May, mid-May at the absolute latest, right? That's the feeling. We'll see what happens. Pitchers are fickle. We know this. But obviously, you've lost Montas for at least half the season. In July, same thing with Luis Gil, same injury as Luis Gil. And so the depth that the general manager, Stearns, told you he was so happy about, and Griffin Canning and Paul Blackburn, are suddenly thrusted into the rotation. And it sounded like and felt like McGill would be the guy with an option, so he would be sent down, right? We're playing the same game. I'm playing with as a Yankee fan, playing with Will Warren and Cookie Carrasco. Well, who do I think is going to be better? Will Warren, but Will Warren has options. The Yankees don't really have a lot of depth right now. I don't want to just jettison Cookie Carrasco, pitch Will Warren, and if it fades and doesn't work, now I have nowhere else to go. Where if Carrasco doesn't work, I can always turn to Will Warren, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's where both teams kind of are with their depth. And McGill pitched really well in spring training and has looked good. And to me, has a higher upside than I know Griffin Canning. They're trying to sell you on this high upside. And it's not just the Mets that seen something in him. Obviously, the Angels saw something in him, too. They continued to pitch him. I mean, he was arguably the worst starting pitcher in Major League Baseball last year to make 30 starts. Like, that's how bad he was. But also how promising he was that they allowed him to make 30 starts. So as you look at the back end of this rotation, and it seemed like McGill would be the guy sent down, they have the option. But if you're going to treat this rotation as in a bunch of one-year options and a bunch of, you know, not going to go out and spend big money on free agents, because typically free agents happen at 30, 31. You know, they offered a lot of money for Yamamoto at 25. The occasional 25, 26-year-old free agent shows up, then I think the Mets definitely are in on it. But typically, you know, we saw with Burns and Fried, not interested in signing 30, 31-year-old pitchers to 6-7-year deals. Not interested in the top of the market of free agent pitching. So I feel like if you're going to handle it that way, then maybe you should make sure you have the best pitchers with the best upside in the rotation and not worry so much. If you're not worried about that depth and you want to talk about the Met lab and pitching lab and what they're able to do, and clearly so far you look at Clay Holmes and how brilliant he's looked in spring training, and now even, you know, McGill looked really good, and his ability to throw strikes in spring training so far, and that's been his issue, right? That's what the Mets have had their issues with him. He's shown promise. He's gotten off to good starts of the year before for the Mets. He's held the fort down while other players were dealing with injuries, but ultimately never sticks around very long because he nibbles. Like, that's been the thought process. Good stuff, good arm, has had his own injury issues, but nibbles. Doesn't throw enough strikes, doesn't attack the zone enough. Well, If they've told him to work on that, and that's where they've set their pitching lab up to do for McGill, is really work on throwing strikes, attacking the zone, trusting your stuff, and he's showing it to you. I'm sorry, but he's better than Blackburn. I think he's better than Griffin Canning. And if you're going to look at a rotation based on short-term options, take a chance, so what if you put Griffin Canning in the bullpen or you put Blackburn in the bullpen and figure out a way to stash these guys when Manaea comes back? Or, like, to me, if you're going to treat this rotation as they do, where if things fail, no big deal, short-term option, not given big-time money, not given long-term contracts. I know you might have high hopes for Griffin Canning, and I know you might think Blackburn is a legitimately good pitcher, but I would just say, if you believe, and to me, he does have the best upside, I've seen it, if you believe that McGill is the best starting pitcher, you're in a division with the Phillies, you're in a division with the Braves, you're in a National League, which so much is made right now about how good the National League is, how poor the American League is. Like, I know you were able to rally back from 11 games under 500, and by no means am I suggesting the difference of, you know, Blackburn versus McGill will be the difference of a successful start and an under 500 start. But I'm just thinking, if you're going to treat it this way, where we don't take big chances, we don't take big swings, so we don't make big mistakes, then be willing to be wrong on a Blackburn. Be willing to throw away a Griffin Canning and go with your best rotation. And right now, I think you can make an argument that McGill is your best fifth starter, is the guy with the highest upside. If you told me at some point, let's say you turn the clocks ahead to June 10th right now, and one of the starting pitchers has a 6-1 record and a 2.8 ERA, and I had to choose which one of the three between Griffin Canning, Paul Blackburn, or McGill, I'll tell you right now, I think I would bet my money that McGill is that starting pitcher. So we'll see what they do. I would understand if they stick with what they have and send him down to the minors. That's how you stockpile. That's how you ensure yourself some depth. I expect the Yankees to do the same. I expect Will Warren to be in the minor leagues while they throw Cookie Carrasco, because why not? It's the start of the year. Carrasco's look good in spring. Canning looked good too the other day. It's not like he's looked bad. I'm just saying, for me, I think McGill is the better option. And I do think that when you handle the rotation the way they handle it, it's built for, hey, let's just go the best guys. What's the difference? Well, because I took a flyer on Griffin Canning. It is what it is. When you take nothing but flyers with your rotation, I do think it's, you're in a different spot than some other organizations to say, hey, what the hell? Let me start the best pitcher. Let me not worry about who's got the options. Let me not worry about who I'm stockpiling. Let me not worry about this or that. I'll take another flyer and another starting pitcher because I don't believe in giving big money to starting pitching, and I'll find another guy, and I got the pitching lab, and we'll fix this and we'll fix that. Well, I would just go with the best guy you got. I don't know if they'll do it, but I think a case can be made that McGill is their best option in the rotation, and we'll see what they do with it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dominic in North Carolina. What's up, Dom?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. I wanted to say about your take on the Mets pitch. The reason you co under fire from the Mets fans is because I will tell you, we perceived that you were a little bit excessively gleeful when Montas went down. And I was going to call you last week. Go back and listen to the tape.
I wasn't gleeful. I got on Stearns because when he ran to give him $34 million over 2 years, I was critical of the move. I still don't understand it. And when he got hurt, I was just like, well, this is, you know.
There was a little bit of Soto Schadenfreude there.
I was going to tell you,
tongue-in-cheek, that your Schadenfreude is really what's responsible for all the Yankees pitching injuries. Pitchers get hurt.
And that's the way
Stearns approaches things.
I understand. I get it. And it's smart on some level, but on the other level, I'm glad that they went out and spent money on Max Fried, so he's there when Cole goes down.
For now. Now, well, let me just say about the Mets pitching staff.
Yeah.
I thought the reason they were going to option McGill was because ultimately they were going to go with a six-man rotation, and that early in the year with the off days and so forth on the calendar, they only needed five. So I thought that was the reason, and I thought McGill.
Yeah, I mean,
right,
I don't know if they're going
to
still do the. I don't know if they're going to figure do the six man rotation. When you know, maybe in the month, in a month they will.
That is the plan.
No, I know, but
the plan because of
Senga, I know, and then you know, plus Manaea coming back from a rib injury, from the oblique injury.
Yeah,
you might want to take it slow with him. I get it. I'm just whatever the case may be. Even then, the two of them, like when Manaea comes back, I still think McGill is the better of the options over both Canning and Blackburn. But I'm telling you, Schadenfreude you think I have, that is more about you than me. I promise you, I was not gleeful that Montas went down. Not gleeful at all. I don't want anyone to get hurt. Believe it or not, I root for the Mets. You guys are making it harder this year because the Met fan has been buoyed by the signing of Juan Soto to really dig into this Yankee-Met thing. Because prior, you didn't have the confidence. Now the confidence is up, and you're like, let's take this confidence out for a spin. Prior years, you wouldn't dare, because who were you? You were just the Mets. You were waiting for the next shoe to drop. You had no faith in the organization. You had no faith in your team. And now that you believe your owner is the best in baseball and the general manager is as smart as anyone, I'm not even disputing that. I'm just saying now that you believe that and they got Juan Soto, suddenly the confidence is through the roof after last year's season, getting Juan Soto, your belief in the people running the organization. So now you're taking this Yankee Met thing out for a spin. I'm telling you, I was not happy Montas was hurt. I'm not happy about it. I was critical of how he handled the rotation, and I might have pointed out this is why, or I'm not sure why you ran to give Montas, an off-injured pitcher, a two-year deal before you even took a look at some of the pitchers and where the market was, and you know they could have got other starting pitching for the same money. Flaherty, relatively, you know, they could have got Flaherty instead. Don't you think Flaherty's a better pitcher? They ran because they believed they saw something in Montas. I was critical of the move. And when he was injured, I probably brought up how I was critical of the move. But I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about any negative thing that happens to either team, I promise you. I'm not happy. When they play the Yankees, if Juan Soto goes 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts, I might be happy. That's about it. But over the course of the year, I won't be rooting against them or rooting against the Mets. And that's why I find it like so, like, especially because, you know, I understand why Yankee fans get on me a little bit. I mean, I think they're misguided, but I understand that. I'm the Yankee shill, and they're all very down on the organization. That's fine. But, like, Met fans are just all just dying to get in on bashing the Yankees. Just dying. You want to talk about gleeful? You think I'm gleeful with Montas? Go on social media and look at the gleeful Met fans that Gerrit Cole got Tommy John surgery, or that Jason Dominguez let a ball fall down in left field. I'm against all this. I am. I'm against all this. I'm against what it's become, Met Yankee. I'm against Big Brother, Little Brother. I am. I'm against it. And not just because I don't even have the perceived notion that it's swung in any way. You got to go out and win. Winning the offseason doesn't guarantee you anything. The idea that you're Big Brother off of one offseason signing, and yeah, listen, you want me to bring out the negativity on the Yankee Met thing? I'll tell you this. If we're going to have a little fun with the Big Brother, Little Brother, I don't know if anything screams Little Brother more than making a movie out of an off-season signing. Like I don't know. Like, there are championship DVDs. I get it. And the Yankees haven't put one out since 2009. I get it. I just found it the other day. So there are championship DVDs. There are even, like, you know, documentaries, and there's yearbooks on SNY. But to, like, put out a movie about signing a player in the offseason before he's ever played a game in your uniform in the regular season, That might scream a little bit little brother to me. Maybe just a little bit. 888-808-1019. But I'm not rooting for injuries, I promise you. Nor am I happy when they happen.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
She is gone. It's a grand slam. Swung on, hit in the air to right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. His third home run of the game. A Judgian blast to right field.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
A little bit of disregard.
Oh, I haven't heard this one in a while. All right, 4:48. Little Linkin Park here as we get you ready for 5 o'clock and the warm-up show on this Wednesday morning. I'll be back with you for a five-hour midnight ride. Hopefully I get some sleep. I got some, the car problems just never freaking end lately. Now, thankfully, this is a, you know, I'm going to take it in for some brake issues, recall, whatever the case may be, but I got to go drop the car off this morning because it's kind of on the way. I didn't want to come back, so I set it up for an early appointment. I think I'm going to get a loaner for the next 2 days. Like, it's just, it never ends up with the tires and the car. It's been a disastrous late February, early March for my automobiles. It's been a just never-ending nonsense.
What would you rather have happen today? Get some sleep, things go well with the car, Aaron Rodgers news. Or I guess ranking.
Well,
I mean, I
expect the things are going to go fine with the car. There's no fear of that. It's through the dealership and everything, and it's a recall. So I'm hoping that. I mean, I guess they could ruin my car. You never know. Crazier things have happened.
So we'll throw that. Would you rather be well rested and there's no Rodgers for 5 hours tomorrow, or exhausted but Rodgers signs?
Now, I'm exhausted every day. Give me the exhausted Aaron Rodgers to the New York Giants any day of the week. Let's go. Need that Giant news. Oh, man. I don't know about you. And we're going to get to Brett in a second. I don't know about you. But I can't imagine off of last year, the depths we felt last year, when we're literally, as a fan base, waiting for them to decide whether they're going to fire or keep the general manager and the coach. You know, the fan base a little bit split. I would probably say maybe 60-40 for fire everybody. Like, where the organization was, knowing that even, like, the quarterback future, many people don't think these are great, you know, quarterbacks at the top of this draft. Well, I should say most everyone believes that it's not a great quarterback draft, pretty much everybody. But still, I think Cam Ward could be a good quarterback. But anyway, like, not even the prospect of like, one of the better years to fall into the third draft pick. They won that game against the Colts. They lost the top draft pick for the tankers like myself. We couldn't even get that. Like, there was zero. There was, like, nothing to feel good about as a New York Giant fan. Like, really nothing. If they end up having the offseason they're having now, where they have fixed, at least in my mind, the defensive backfield. The defensive backfield feels light years better. Light years better. They should be far better defensively. Whatever you think of Slayton, whatever you think of that contract compared to the Saquon Barkley contract, it's different worlds. For what he got, you look at what Jesse Palmer got, like, that's a good contract for a guy who's led your organization in receiving yards like three of the last 4 years. He's got some speed. He drops some balls occasionally, but that's a pretty good contract for a player that everybody assumed was going to make more money and was going to be gone. And there's really not a lot of other better options at the wide receiver position in free agency. If they sign Aaron Rodgers and then at the draft a young quarterback, there's going to be more optimism for a Giants season than, for me, it's going to be the most optimistic I've been for the team since watching the 40-0 loss against the Cowboys the year after the playoff run. There was optimism, obviously, going into that season. I remember my take was, you could see a team win less games, but we feel that are still improving. Like, I knew it was year one of the rebuild, and they had this amazing season. The coach came in and changed everything. He stopped Daniel Jones from turning the ball over. Saquon Barkley was the core of the offense. Daniel Jones got hot at the end of the year. They won a road playoff game. What an amazing year. The next year, I thought, hey, I still want to see them progress as a football team. But things broke their way. They had a last-place schedule. Things happened. I could see them winning less games than last year, but coming away feeling like they're still improving as a football team. And then after the 40-0 drubbing, I kind of lost all confidence. And so really, since that game, I don't know if I've ever been more confident or will feel the same way as if they draft Cam Ward and have Aaron Rodgers ready to start the year, along with how they've impacted the defense. They still have money to spend. They still should be shopping at the interior lineman level, plus the draft. Who knows? So for me, if that news breaks tomorrow that Aaron Rodgers is a New York Giant, I am going to be flying high at midnight. Let's see how Brett in Long Island feels about it. Brett?
Please, that was a horrible hypothetical. You need some sleep. Chris, oh my God, you're lying through your teeth. I won't allow it. If Juan Soto got hurt in spring training and was out for the season,
absolutely,
and the Mets didn't make the playoffs, you would be happy. I guarantee one of your friends right now, if they called in, they'd be like, yeah, when you have, I understand you have to kiss butt on the station, you have to say the right thing. But Chris, any human being with the emotion, we just lost our best player. Overall.
I don't want him to get hurt.
Yeah, you wouldn't be happy. No. You don't want it. But if it happened, and the result of it happening, okay, he twisted his ankle but couldn't play. Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't. Brett, stop telling me how I would feel if Tom Brady got hurt.
You would have been happy about it. You're lying.
I'm not going to argue with you about what I would feel. I want the Mets to be successful. I'm not. If I got into an argument with a Met fan and he was knocking the Yankees and we went back and forth, would I say it or use it? Or I don't know. But honestly, in my
own... Was Juan Soto one of your favorite players? Did you look forward to going to the ballpark?
Absolutely.
You just lost him. You lost him for 15 years. You wouldn't be happy if he didn't play. Just say it, man.
Brett, I'm not you. Stop looking at the world through your prism and expect everybody to see it the same way. I'm not a miserable SOB who wants everybody to fail. That's your thing. And you do it so well. No, I honestly don't. That's not everybody. I am not rooting for a Juan Soto injury. That's stupid. I'm not. I want to watch Juan Soto play. To your argument, at least, you know, to give you the benefit of the doubt on something there, I have a unique, different perspective than most people. I have to talk about the New York Mets. I want to watch good baseball. I have to watch the Mets. I have to focus on the Mets. I have to invest my time and my energy with the Mets. I don't want them to be awful. You're dead wrong. You think I want the Mets to have no Juan Soto and be dead in August? I don't. Would I laugh at some Met fans who've been giving me a hard time on Twitter? Maybe, but I wouldn't be, that would be such a dumb, like not real, just to stick it to some guys who've been stupid to me. Like, that's it. In reality, I want them to be good. I want the Mets to be good. I'm looking forward to watching Juan Soto play. I don't want to see Juan Soto hurt. I want to watch Juan Soto play. You could take it for whatever you want, Brett. This is the honest-to-God truth. I want the Mets in the World Series, and then I want them to get beat up by the New York Yankees. That's what I want. My ideal world is a Yankee-Met World Series that goes 7, and then in Game 7, the Yankees absolutely destroy them. That's what I want. That's exactly what I want. Why would I want anyone else to win? Because I battle with people because Met fans get after me on Twitter because, you know, they don't like that I'm critical about how the Mets handled the starting rotation in some way. That I should just be bowing at the altar of everything Stearns because Cashman's a fool. Like, I don't feel that way. You can be critical of everybody. He's done a great job. I'm not sure. I know Sal put out a thing about it proves that the Mets are handling the rotation, that the Cole injury proves that the Mets are handling the rotation the right way. I suppose that it limits them from the ultimate damage of losing your ace pitcher who you paid $36 million to, but also the idea that Max Fried was given that contract. We'll see how it ends, but right now I'm pretty damn glad that I feel like the Yankees still have an ace. Injuries happen to the Mets. They replace it with you know, your next best pitcher is Griffin Canning if another injury happens. Now, they're not damaged long-term. Next year, they move on to the next. Totally agree. I hear you. And if it works out the way it worked out last year, give me another 2 or 3 years where it works like this, then I won't have an argument to stand on. But right now, I think the Yankees might have invested too much money in the starting rotation, considering they have Rodon as well as Fried and Cole. I'd rather see that money more invested in the lineup. But I also think eventually you're going to have to take a chance on the right free agent and spend some money on a guy who's 30 and understand pitchers get hurt. It's a different dynamic. But no, sorry. I wish I could be like you, Brett. Actually, I don't. I'm really glad I'm not you. I am not lying when I say I hope. Why would I want Juan Soto to get hurt? Kevin in Florida. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Big Mac.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I have three uncles who played in the NFL. I don't wish ill will against any athlete to get an injury, believe me.
Yeah, I have no ill will. I don't get it. Like, I don't. I want to watch Juan Soto play. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's all we got, Kev. I appreciate it. I'm sorry. I went rambling about Brett too long. It's just such a dumb argument. But that is not me. Not me. I got to watch them every day. I've already bet they're over. Kidding me? That's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Fleegs on the other side. We'll catch you tomorrow at midnight for a 5-hour midnight ride. Hopefully, we have an answer on the Aaron Rodgers situation. And hopefully, it's that he's playing for the New York Giants. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. The warm-up show is next. Stick with us on the Fan all day waiting for that Aaron Rodgers news. I'll catch you at midnight. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN New York.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.